Boys and girls, I'm going to tell you a story about my own life. When I was a young boy, I was very, very fond of football. And the great day when I was young was when Scotland played England. And in these days, Scotland was a lot better than they are nowadays. And they were beating England. The great day was this international. Every year in the beginning of April, Scotland played England. And there was this special day I was listening to it on the radio. Television had just been invented, but only the very wealthy people could afford one. So we had to listen to it on the radio. And I remember Scotland were winning, but they were winning quite a lot. But they were, all of a sudden, there was one favourite player. His name was Dennis Law. And he had the ball inside the penalty area. And all of a sudden, he fell flat on the ground. And the commentator said, "Oh, I think that's a penalty." And the other commentator was helping him, saying, "I don't know. I think he dived. I'm not sure. I don't know." Anyway, it was a penalty. And to be honest, I can't remember if they scored or not. But I always remembered after that, I wonder, was that a penalty? Or did Dennis Law dive? Was he tricked up genuinely, or what did he dive? Well, the years passed, and the years passed. And one day, I was walking through a big department store in Glasgow. And there was big news when flat screen televisions came out. It was 25 years since that incident. And I was walking up the aisle and they were showing on the screen old football matches. And I couldn't believe it. As I walked up the aisle and came to this screen here, here was the very incident I was speaking about. Dennis Law fell down in the penalty area. Some said it was a penalty, some said he dived. But I'll never forget this. Just as I passed split second timing, the camera zoomed in onto Dennis Law lying on the ground. It phoned in on his face. And just as the referee blew his whistle, Dennis Law turned up his face and winked at his friend. 25 years afterwards. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Even 25 years afterwards. Now, I don't know if Dennis was a Christian or not. I don't know if he confessed his sin to God or not. If he did, it would be forgiven. But do you know the difference about a Christian? We sometimes sin to our disgrace, to our shame. We Christians still sin. But whenever we do something wrong, however serious it is, we're to expose it to God. We're to tell God. We're to confess it to God. We're to ask for forgiveness. You know, the natural thing that comes to us when we do something wrong is cover it up. Hide it. Pretend we didn't do it. That's not how a Christian lives. A Christian should sin as little as possible. But when he does, we shouldn't cover it up. We should expose it. We should tell God about it. And you know, he will forgive us the moment we do. If we genuinely confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So next time you see a penalty, you're going to remember my story. And you ask yourself, have I confessed all my sins to God? And if not, you make a wee prayer to God. Father, forgive me for all my sins for Jesus' sake. Okay? Well now, let's turn to the chapter of God's Word which we read. 1 Peter chapter 2, And as God would help me, I'd like to concentrate on verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. But we'll read the first three verses. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What an important word, the small two-letter word, if, is. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we have a command before us this morning. We are to desire the pure milk of the word, that we would grow. That's the command. That's the duty for us. If you have not tasted that the Lord is gracious, you have a different command. You have a different duty before you. You have to taste and see that God is good. If you've not tasted that the Lord is gracious, you don't know God. However much about God, you don't know God. However much you may know about him, if you don't know he's good and he's gracious. That's why I sang Psalm 130, verse 4. You sang it there. But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. If you don't know God's forgiveness, you don't know God. However much about him you know, you need to taste his goodness, taste his forgiveness. But so many people think, once they're converted, once they're forgiven, they think that's it all. My friend, that's it all beginning. That's it all starting. That's not it all over. And here's one of the commands we're given. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we're to grow in grace. We're to grow in faith. Last Lord's Day, we looked at the testing of faith and the origin of faith. Now we're going to look at the growth of faith. Growth of grace. How do you know if something is alive? If it grows. Even though it might be growing old, it's still alive. Growth is a sign of life. But it can be very complex in studying this growth when the subject is abstract or theoretical. So what is growth in grace? What is growth in grace? We're commanded here to grow. What's been looked for? Well, the moment of our regeneration, when we put our faith in Christ, the germ seed of every grace is implanted within us. And it's your duty and my duty from then on to ensure that seed grows, develops. It's the development of existing graces which the Holy Spirit implanted within us at the moment of our regeneration. And we have to ensure we grow in these things. If we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if we've tasted his forgiveness, then the grace of forgiveness has been planted within us. And like Father, like Son, we have to know how to forgive. We have to learn how to grow in forgiving others. If Christ is our Saviour, we will want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We want more thirst for Christ. If we've been convicted of our sin, we will become more sensitive to sin. Why do we go to Christ? Why does Christ all of a sudden become attractive? It's because we've discovered he alone can pardon sin. He alone can keep us from sin. He alone can heal our wounds of sin. So we're to grow in sensitivity to sin. We're to grow in thirst for Christ. We're to grow in love for Christ. How can you be forgiven and not love Christ? But isn't it amazing? The complaint God's people often have is, I don't love him enough. But that very complaint is a mark of grace, a sign of life. You want more. You know, someone has said humorously, that money is like grace. There's one way in which money is like grace. The more you get, the more you want. You want more of Christ. You want more love. You want to love your brothers and sisters in Christ more. You want to love the lost more. We need to grow as Christians in good works. Well, verse 12 says that, doesn't it? They may buy your good works, which they observe. Titus 3 and 8 is a very salutary chapter. You might say, well, what are you talking about growing in good works for? Well, Titus chapter 3 verse 8 says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to them. That's Paul telling Titus what to preach, what to emphasize, that they may maintain good works. Verse 15, I think, even refers to it as well, doesn't it? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of the wickedness. Our Bible tells us we've been created anew, recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. So, how do we grow in faith? How do we grow in the graces that God, the Spirit, has implanted within us? Well, we have to remember Jesus himself says, from me is your fruit found. As you abide in me, therefore you will bear forth fruit. As you abide in Christ. We cannot grow apart from being close to Christ. How do we get closer to Christ? By getting closer to his word and his spirit. Verse 22 in the previous chapter tells us, our souls are purified by obeying the truth through the Spirit. We are told that we cannot grow apart from food and exercise. You want plants to grow? Feed them. You want children to grow? Feed them. Exercise them. Now, verse 2 tells us, and actually this is what the chapter, we could say, concentrates on. Digesting the word for food and exercising the fruits of the Spirit from verse 11 onwards. Our text, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word in order to grow thereby. We digest the word so that we learn about Christ. We're told to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, every child of God is predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. How can you and I develop and grow in Christ-likeness if we don't know what Christ is like? Where are we going to get information about what Christ is like? If you want to be like Christ and you want to grow like Christ, where are you going to get the information about how Christ is like? From a dream? From what you think? From what someone tells you? The agent God has given us, the instrument God has given us that we might grow thereby, is the Word of God. By digesting the Word, we get a knowledge of Christ, what He is like, and acting. He is the Word made flesh. In flesh, in human nature. You see, there's such a gulf between God in heaven and you and I on earth that we need something in between to identify with. Christ is the one mediator between God and man. If you want to know what God is like, have a long look at Jesus. Without the Word, we can never be a strong Christian. We will always be weak, we'll always be subject to temptation, prone to being misguided. Without the Word, we'll never be a strong Christian. We'll never grow strong. Without the Word, you'll never grow wise. You'll always be prone to error. You'll always be vulnerable to sin if you don't know the Word. Without the Word, you can never be holy. That's verse 22 we've read already in the previous chapter. Through the Word, we're purified through the Word, by obeying the Word through the Spirit. How is it possible to grow? How is it possible to have close communion with Christ apart from the Word? You can't grow apart from Christ. From me is your fruit found. How do you get to know more about Christ but through the Word? Now, if just only by close communion with Christ will we grow. But communion is much more, than simple communication. Communication is speaking to God and listening to God. We speak to God by prayer. How do we hear God? Through the Word. So if we're not familiar with the Word, it's one-way communication. We have to hear from Christ. That's how we will go on. Well, as we look at verse 11, it's not only feeding, digesting the Word that we grow Christ-like, but it's by exercising these germ seeds planted within us. Do you note, you would have noted from verse 11 onwards, the number of verbs. Abstain from, submit yourselves to, do good, honour, love, fear. These are all things to do with the germ seeds that have been planted within us. You see how people say, well, all you've got to do to be sanctified, to grow this, is just pray. Not according to the Bible. There are things to do. Do you remember the disciples in Luke chapter 17 came to Christ on one occasion and said, Lord, increase our faith. Do you remember his reply? Do you remember what he said? He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, anywhere, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if your faith as a mustard seed, which is say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That was it. That was his reply. What do you make of that? I was almost confused by it. He just said, if you've got faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this tree, be planted, be done. What was he saying in effect? And they asked the Lord, give us more faith. What was he saying? Was he not asking to say, look, you don't need more faith. You need to exercise. You need to use the little bit you have. Even though it's as a grain of mustard seed, which he said elsewhere was the smallest of all seeds. You see, the lesson is, faith is not like building blocks. You're going to build a wall, you've got some bricks. You say, oh, I'll build a wall. And then you discover, well, I haven't got enough bricks. Oh, I need to send for more bricks. Faith is not like a concrete block or a brick. Faith is a seed which develops and grows. And it grows and it develops by exercise, by using it. Peter tells us in the next letter something similar. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness. Don't just do that. Use what you have. And isn't it interesting what he said after that? What was the promise he gave? If you add to your faith, what's the promise? 2 Peter 1:8 is the promise. If you do these things, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful. What do you make of that promise? Are you complaining about being barren and unfruitful? Here's a promise. If you do these things, you'll never be barren or unfruitful. In short, I suppose we could say what the message is, how to grow is practice what doesn't come naturally. Practice the fruit of the Spirit. Not the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody double crosses you. Somebody does the dirty on you. What's a natural thing to do? Well, what comes to me naturally is, I'll give him a taste of his own medicine. Tit for tat. That's not growing in grace. That's not doing what the Spirit's teaching us to do. The Bible teaches us, overcome evil, not with the same thing, but overcome evil with good. Do what does not naturally. Practice exercising the fruits of the Spirit. Love, overcome evil good. The world will laugh. You won't think it works. But you're growing in Christ-likeness when you do what doesn't come naturally. Overcome evil with good. Another thing, practicing what the Spirit has implanted in germ seed for. There's someone you don't like. He annoys you. Practice loving him. Oh, you see, how can you love that guy? Look what he did. How can you love him? You can love him by doing something nice to him. We're not asked to love our neighbour or love our brothers. We're not asked to think they're nice people. Because quite frankly, some of us aren't. That's just the basic truth. But we're taught to love them. We're not taught to think they're nice. We're taught to love them. Do something kind to them. Especially if you don't like them. Especially if they annoy you. The works of the fruit of the Spirit. Not what comes naturally. We grow by practicing these things that the Spirit is implanted with us and doesn't come naturally. We're trying to talk about what's spiritual, not what's natural. One more, you've been let down. You've been let down. Someone has disappointed, you've got a disappointment, genuine disappointment. That's life. That's life. Can you have joy? Can you have joy when you're disappointed? We have to practice that. We're on our way to glory. Everything that happens to us, we're told, is going to work out for our eventual good. Do we believe it? Practice it. Practice having joy when things go wrong. I often think of Paul and Silas. What a high they must have been on when they got that message. Remember, they were rebuked by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 16. They went to go to Asia, and the Spirit said, no, wrong place. So then they went to go to Bithynia, wrong place. The Spirit forbade us. Oh, they must have been quite down that day. Then, the vision, the man from Macedonia, come over to Macedonia and help us. They must have been on a high that night. Oh, there must be wonderful fruit there. And then they go to Macedonia. What's the first thing that happens? The land, prison. How did they react? Oh, we've drawn. Trust us to draw the short straw. Was that the response? We read at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises to God. Practice doing what doesn't come naturally. Practice exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord, and it's, that's what we get. Five times in that letter to the Philippians, where they were, in Macedonia. Rejoice! And again I say, rejoice. We know, or do we know, all things really those who love God. Well, just two or three things as we close. The general messages about growth. Growth takes time. Blessed be God. We can be converted in one moment. Blessed be God, with one look, one act of trusting Christ, we can be instantly born again and have the fruits of the Spirit within us. But we cannot grow overnight. It takes time. In fact, it will take us the rest of our lives. It will take us much prayer. Not 1 week quick. Lord, grow my graces. It's a lifelong process. Three things beginning with the letter T about growth. It takes time. Secondly, it takes toil. My friend, the Christian life is wonderful, is great, but listen, it is not easy. It's wonderful. It's glorious. There's very great highs, but there's also lows. There's toilsome. It doesn't come naturally. It takes time. It takes toil. And the third T is it takes tears. There'll be sadness. There will. Sorrowing, yet always rejoicing. Time, toil, tears. And our sad tears are a sign of life. Tears are a sign of life. They're not nice, but they're a sign of life. You're still growing. Couple of things. Well, growth is imperceptible. You can be growing and not realize it. You must know your grandchildren come. And you say, "Man, have you grown in the last year?" And the parents say, "Really?" He thinks, "Oh, never noticed." But you haven't seen them for a year. And they've grown. It's imperceptible. Growth, by definition, is imperceptible. And it's silent. Unseen and silent. And finally, growth requires rest. It tells that. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me and rest. From me is your fruit found." Now don't rest in growth. Don't rest in how poor you're doing or how well you're doing. Rest in Christ, who says, "I am like the Jew to Israel. He shall grow as the lily." He shall grow to me, resting in Christ. He is the source of all these things. Time, toil, tears, is imperceptible. Christ gives rest. Rest in Christ. You grow by resting upon me. Rest in Christ. Well, however, I end as I began. If you have not tasted that the Lord is gracious, forget about growth. Get the seed. Get Christ. Get the Spirit. Get forgiveness. Get life. And then we can talk about growth. If you're not a Christian, forget about growth. Concentrate on getting forgiveness from Christ. Concentrate on Him. He is our life. Well, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. May God, the Holy Spirit, make His Word effectual to every one of us. Well, let's pray.